So we are going to talk about push notifications on mobile and unified push. And we are Daniel and Simon. Daniel is developing the XMPP client conversations that can be used to get push notifications with unified push. And on my side, I've started the project like 5 years ago, and I develop and maintain the libraries and some applications.
Awesome. Let's start this talk by asking ourselves the question, how do notifications actually get to my phone? Like, how can my email application know that I have like new email and notify, like tell me or the user about it? So the easiest approach to this is like ask the server if there's new email in like periodic intervals, like every 50 minutes or so. And this is basically the approach that POP3 back in the day used. And can I get a quick show of hands on how many of you have been around for long enough to have fetched the email over POP3? Who's still fetching the email over POP3? Okay, 2 or 3 very brave people. Thank you. So yeah, like the diagram shows, every 15 minutes or so on set interval, I'm going to ask my server, is there a new email? And in a lot of cases, the server is going to say, no, you don't have any new emails. And then occasionally, the server goes, oh, you have new emails. And there are like a lot of pros and cons to that approach. One obvious pro is that it's like very easy to implement. But the downsides are that it's very expensive. Like the flowchart I showed you, like didn't even show like the whole thing. There's usually you don't just ask for like new emails. You also have to like establish a TLS connection, hopefully, beforehand, and you have to log in and stuff like that. And just as far as the user visible notifications are concerned, there might be like a high latency, right? Because like if you're asking every 50 minutes. You might have to wait like 14 minutes and 59 seconds at the worst case to get notified of an email that just arrived shortly after the last time you checked. And yeah, and also like the vast majority of connections will be like unnecessary because like unless you're like a very important person, like in a lot of like those checks, you're just not going to have like new emails. And then there's the more modern approach that IMAP uses these days, for example, where you build up like one connection, maintain the connection for as long as possible, you establish TLS once, you authenticate once, and then you just going to like instruct the server to give you over the existing connections like a short shout out if there's like new emails. So you just maintain the connection, wait, and then occasionally the server is going to tell you that says new email. And again, that's how IMAP works. Yeah, so the theory behind that is that a network connection that doesn't do anything doesn't actually consume that much of a power, right? Because like your mobile, your modem is going to go into like power saving mode and like, yeah, idling doesn't do it. A whole lot on the modem side of things and also on the operating side of things. It's just like a few bytes in the kernel somewhere reminding you that there's a connection, but like nothing is actually going to be done. That's a theory, but in practice, unfortunately, it isn't that simple because of like NATs and weird networking situations. You have to do like periodic pings to check if the connection is still alive. You have to reestablish the connection entirely if you switch from like Wi-Fi to mobile, or if you went to airplane mode for a little bit of time, or drove through a tunnel, or whatever. So you have to like manage the connection. It's not just a stale connection. And that would be theoretically fine, but if you have multiple apps running on your phone, then this thing is not like not synchronized across apps. Like various apps will ping at various intervals, do the reestablishing light. One will do it like slightly later than the other one, and this goes against the principle of power saving that says like transmit as rarely as possible when you do send as much as possible at once, which is basically like a power managing trick for your modem. And this also can be done in like the management can be like messed up a little bit. Like it's difficult to like implement correctly. It's obviously not rocket science, but yeah, you have to like put some thought and effort into it. And like for example, if we are comparing signal which is directly connected to the signal server, like so signal in a mode where it doesn't use Google push notifications, but like tries to maintain the connection to the server directly. If you compare that to conversations on an XMPP client doing the exact same thing, we can see that like signal is doing a worse job at the same task, right? And like obviously the signal developers very likely aren't stupid or anything, but it just shows that you have to like put a lot of like effort and dedication into like managing this connection properly. Yeah, and this all kind of like raises the question: can we not simply combine this maintaining of like one connection into like one app, like have just maintain one connection to a server somewhere and have that connection being managed properly? And yeah, the answer is that's basically what Firebase Cloud Messaging is, or what Google Push is. And then I very deliberately use like proprietary services on one hand. Like for example, we have like FedEx, which like wants to notify my FedEx mobile app that like, I don't know, my delivery has like an update or whatever. And then the service, like FedEx.com in that example, will tell over like a proprietary API, will tell the Google servers. The Google servers will over one persistent connection tell what's called the Play services, like a background service that's running on like most Android phones, will tell that. And then the app will wake up, the Play services will wake up the app that should receive the notification. And yeah, same thing if like for the Lufthansa app, if our flight gets delayed or whatever, it all gets pushed over that one channel. And yeah, so as I said, like the Play services maintain like one persistent, well-managed connection to Google servers, but there's like it's a good implementation of like that problem, but there isn't any like magic behind it. It's just like does the occasional pings, the reconnects, and all that. It's just like implemented well and relatively efficient. And then yeah, the correlation between like which service and wants to push to which apps happen over like a so-called token that is used for like the correlation between the service and the app. And yeah, by default, if you just buy like a stock Android phone somewhere, very few things work without Google Push. Like for example, apps that wanted to maintain like their own persistent connection would need explicit user consent, and there's like an annoying pop-up notifications. And also, if you want to distribute the apps through the Google Play Store, then it has like additional limitations on top of that, where like only certain kinds of apps are allowed to maintain their own persistent connection. Like for example, like instant messaging app, but like your game or whatever probably wouldn't be allowed to have that. Yeah, and there's obviously like a lot of like criticism towards Google with regards to like the enforcement of every app having to use like Google push notifications. So one of the arguments is, yeah, Google just wants total control, and I guess there's probably some truth to that. But also, as I showed earlier, like implementing like push notifications yourself isn't like completely trivial, and you don't want to like burden like every developer with that. And then like on the upside, like in some cases or in a lot of cases, Google doesn't actually see any content, because in a lot of cases it's just like a wake up signal, or like a dumb wake up signal that doesn't actually tell you anything. For example, in the signal case, just we have like something happened, there are new notifications, there's like not the actual message content in there. So it's not as worse as some people say it is, but yeah, it's certainly not good either. And it's usually tied to your Google account. And there's also like a whole lot of more criticism with regards to Google Push that we don't have time to go into. But if you download the slides, you can have a look at like a lot more arguments to that. Slides are linked in the on the FOSDEM website, by the way. So yeah, this raises the question, can we not have the same thing but like open source and decentralized? And yes, we can, and that's unified push. So the graph looks very similar to the one I showed you earlier, except this time I used like open source services. I used like Mastodon as an example, and Fastmail as a nice email provider, and then like open source apps, Tusky, that's a Mastodon client, Letters, that's an email client. And so in this graph, you're going to introduce like the solid lines are like what's going to be like a standardized protocol, and then the dotted lines are like proprietary things. And like in the unified push mental model, the place services, the thing that runs on your Android phones, are basically replaced with something that's called like a distributor. And there are various implementations for distributors, and then every distributor goes along with like one particular implementation, not one particular instance, but one particular implementation of a push server. And that's because like the protocol that the distributor and the push server talk to each other, that's not standardized. Exactly. But what is standardized is the communication between the app that wants to use unified push and the distributor. And between like the service and what I called the push server, that's both standardized. And on the Android side, it uses just standard Android inter-process communication, like broadcast intents, they are called, if you're familiar with Android development. And on the other side, on the service to push server, we use like a fairly well-established internet standards called web push, which is also what a website that wants to like send push notifications through your browser would use. That's basically, yeah, that's the thing that like all browsers implement these days, and it's like ITS standards, like various IRCs and stuff. And through the fact that it's like a well-established web standard, like a lot of like services out there, because due to the fact that they want to create notifications in your browser, already have support for web push. Like for example, like Mastodon already has support for that. And yeah, there are also like other things that already have support for it. For example, JMAP, which is like a modern day replacement for IMAP and CalDAV and CatDAV and stuff like that, natively comes with web push support. And then there are extensions to like even something as like ISC to trigger web push notifications directly. And like even if the service you want to talk to doesn't yet support a web push, that's web push is still like the most likely candidate to be like adopted by them. So for example, there's currently talks on to like retrofit web push into IMAP. So even if you're using an email server that doesn't support JMAP or whatever, then you could potentially still negotiate like web push with an IMAP server. And again, not standardized is what's being talked between the distributor and the push server. Yeah, and the distributor basically does the managing of a persistent TCP connection that I talked about earlier. And unified push actually has like a variety of distributors to choose from. And yeah, this kind of like establishes a little bit of a competition between the different between the different distributors on like who can manage the connection like the most efficient way or whatever. And like various distributors use various protocols to talk to their respective push servers. So WebSockets is used a lot these days, but server sent events like event source, the HTTP long polling thing is used by some of them. And we can also use something like XMPP, which is what Conversations does. And yeah, XMPP also like very efficient and very good at like establishing a good quality a permanent connection that doesn't consume a lot of resources. And yeah, this is a graph on how like the entire process would work. And again, the solid lines are like what's standardized, and the dotted lines are like then what the various services have like their own proprietary protocols. So Tusky, again, that's like a Mastodon app, would send a registration request to the distributor. And then the distributor would go talk to the push server and try to register and get like a web push URL back. Like web push is just like that's an HTTP URL. Get that back to the distributor over whatever like protocol distributor and push server have in common. And then the distributor can tell the app in question, like Tusky in this example, oh, here's the URL. And then Tusky or any other app, again, uses the web push endpoint and hands it over all the way to the service. And that's like the one-time registration that you do, one time like when you first set up your account in Tusky or when you first open the app or whatever. And then, yeah, again, if then Mastodon or whatever like actually wants to like notify me of a new boost or like a new direct message I got in, it would over web push tell the push server over the URL, then the push server would over the established communication channel tell the distributor, and then the distributor would send again, and that's again sanitized because like Tusky needs to support that, would send a broadcast intent Android IPC thing to Tusky with the contents of the push notification. And yes, if you want to try it yourself, a very quick and easy way to get started would be to pick the distributor SunUp. For people who are very keen on like hosting the push server part of that themselves, Notify and Next Push thing are things that are a little bit, obviously you can self-host all of them, but like those are the ones that are like very easy to set up. Next Push kind of like works with the Nextcloud instance that some of you may or may not have, so if you already have that, like go for that. And if you are already a Java XMPP user or want to become one and use that for like your federated instant messaging needs, then Conversations can also act as a distributor and use the XMPP connections that Conversation already holds in the background to also fan out push notifications. And yeah, on the app side of things, there are actually already like a lot of apps that support unified push. So there's a lot of like Mastodon apps, Tusky, FediLab, but there's also other interesting apps like, for example, DevX5, that's a calendar card dev synchronization thing. Then Letters, that's an email client, which uses the JMAP protocol. Fennec, that's the don't want to say open source version of Firefox, but the more open version of Firefox that's distributed via F-Droid, for example, that actually has unified push support internally. And then Molly, that's a fork of Signal, has support for unified push as well. And there are lots more apps, and you can find them on our website and browse through them. And yeah, and maybe it's coming like either to your app, like the app you are developing, or like an app you're using, because it's it actually makes life for app developers a lot easier because they don't have to maintain a complicated like permanent connections themselves. And web, Unified Push itself is like very easy to implement for the app side of things. There's basically like a library that does all the IPC stuff on Android. That's called the connector library. You could technically, if you're like a little bit more familiar with Android development, issue the broadcast intents and stuff all yourselves, or use the connector library, whatever you prefer. And on the server side of things, if you're not using like Mastodon but are writing your own server for like whatever, then there are already like a lot of like web push libraries out there, because again, like web push is this big established standard for browsers, and like if you have some sort of server thing that wants to interact with your app, then yeah, lots of library support for that as well. And yeah, because this is like FOSS on mobile, and Android is increasingly turning the not FOSS way, unfortunately. I also wanted to briefly mention Linux on mobile, and Unified Push does actually have a Dbus API that specifies like the same kind of like interactions that I described to you earlier. This far, there aren't that many implementations, either on the distributor side or on the app side of things, of the Unified Push Dbus API. But yeah, I'm personally interested in working on that. He's probably interested in working on that. And a lot of the experience that we gained with like implementing that for Android is like very likely transferable to the Linux side of things as well. And yeah, a lot of shared knowledge, a lot of gained experience can be put into the Linux on mobile / dbus thing as well. And yeah, I'm now going to hand it over to Simon for a quick demo.
So let's see how it works. So I have my phone there, and I have a distributor, which is a SunUp, already installed. And for the example, I will use the example app. So I just have to register. Here I can choose which distributor I want to use and which one will be my default one, because I have many of them. And that's it. I just get an endpoint which can be sent to my server that will be able to send to my mobile phone. So if I send a notification, we can see that I received one, which will be more interesting is if we send it from another application or another device. If you want, you can test it and just send a random message, and I should receive them on my phone. On voit pas le contenu. Android is hiding the content of the notification, so you can't see them. But I receive many of them. Okay, so that's it. Sorry. And most important, if you have questions. It will need the permissions to which permissions needs the distributor to run on the device. Basically, it will need two permissions: one to show a notification, which is required to get a foreground service, and the permission to run in the background without optimization.
Yeah, privacy question. So obviously the server to distribute messages, distribute bug notifications would be interesting for the three-letter agencies. It would be interested to be hacked in, etc. So do you, how are encrypted the notifications from the from the providers to up to the phone? Is there end-to-end encryption? Or is it simply in clear text by the server, etc.?
So the question is, are the push notifications encrypted? And yes, they are encrypted following the RFC 8291, which is the web push encryption.
Are they encrypted from the...
From the application server to the device, to the phone.
Can I?
Yeah.
So yeah, if we quickly go back to so there's basically like two encryptions going on. So if the Mastodon server is sending like a push notification to Tasky that actually has content, because like a lot of push notifications are just wake up signals that don't have any content, but like in the Mastodon example, there's actually like any content in there. The Mastodon servers can basically do like end-to-end encryption to the app, where only the app has the private key to decrypt that, right? And then there there's another layer of encryption on top of that, or beneath that, if you will. Then the communication between the distributor and the push server is usually like TLS encrypted and stuff of that. That sort of says.
Usually.
Yes, there could potentially, you could write a distributor yourself that doesn't do that, but like the distributors I listed there use either like HTTPS for the ones that use like WebSockets and stuff, or the one that uses XMPP obviously also uses TLS because like TLS is mandatory for XMPP.
Okay, so the only thing that push server sees is that the Mastodon has sent a notification to you.
Yes, the only thing the push server sees is from whom to whom, basically, so that something goes from Mastodon to NAP. But yeah, obviously the goal is also, I mean, you can self-host the push server, right? So the push server sees very little, but you can also self-host or put it like to a trusted party.
Thanks.
Yes. Do you want?
So, web. Is there a delivery notification for the push server?
Success reporting.
Yeah, success reporting. The RFC 8030 web push RFC define a way to get this report, but we don't see any push server doing it right now. Maybe the Mozilla one, Google one, or any other implementation. But usually, when your application receives a notification, it kind of do a request to your own server. So this is like the way you do. Even on a mobile phone, the application can be started from the push notification, but FluffyChat doesn't implement it yet. They just have to, like, three lines of code to do, because it has been released in a recent version of the Flutter library. It started after a restart of the phone. Do we need to restart the distributor? And no, there is a different way to start automatically your application when the phone boots.
More question?
So on the next solution, is there a time to share the distributor as a system service that is just available by default, or is this something that is good for people to install?
The question is the service on mobile phone, on Linux mobile phone, already installed, and does it need to run as a system? And today, the service isn't installed by default, but you can install on most Linux distribution, and it runs as a user service.
I'm not really sure with the facts of my questions, so correct me if I'm wrong, but to my knowledge, there are apps like Signal apps and others. When they are installed, they check if they have access to the Google Play services, and if they don't have access to this, they will manage themselves the notifications with the way you just showed us with a low battery. And so, and what to my knowledge, when this first choice is done in the app, after that, if like you suddenly, for example, in CaffeineOS, you allow or you integrate the Google Play services, the app will remain on the first choice it had. And so the question would be, if you or your Android ROM suddenly integrate a unified push, would the app be capable of suddenly choosing to go on unified push, or would you have to re-download it, reinstall it?
I'm not sure if it's here. So the question is, are you able to use Unified Push after after using your own application if you install the service. And you did the example of Signal, who can't use the Play services if they are installed afterward. And this is a client-side implementation. They choose to not support it once they have checked it. It's perfectly possible to use your a Unified Push service afterward. And usually, most applications give an option to change your service if you want. OK, so if you want, we will be outside if you have other questions.
Yes, thank you all.
Thank you.